all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, and compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that was shed for the remissions of our sins. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you because you have loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. The power of sin has been broken. We have been redeemed. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, today we offer the sacrifice of praise. We shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the Alpha and to the Omega, the Almighty God. Lord, I praise and I magnify your name because you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy of all glory and you are worthy of all honor. And I thank you, Lord. And I bless your holy name. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord God, that you've not left us alone, that we have an advocate, we have a counselor, and we have the precious Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into all truth. I thank you, Father, for the healing power, the healing anointing of the Holy Ghost to drive out every spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Lord God, for breaking the yoke of oppression and depression and anxiety in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Lord God, for releasing your healing power to drive out every sickness, every illness in the name of Yeshua. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for doing it. And Father God, I pray for those that are in need of financial miracles. And Father God, let the money manifest this week in the name of Yeshua. Those that need housing, Lord God, bless them with their homes. Those that need promotions, bless them with their promotions, lead and guide them to the jobs and opportunities, Lord God, that you have set out for them, Lord God. And I thank you for doing it, Lord. I thank you for releasing your warring angels to push back the forces of darkness, to bind the principalities and the strong men over this area, Lord God, particularly of mind control and deception and witchcraft in the name of Yeshua. Bind them up with chains from heaven, Lord God, that your people might be free to worship you in spirit and truth. Let your glory be revealed. Let your glory be revealed. And I thank you, Lord God, for that in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord God of Israel, I ask that you will bless this radio broadcast today. And Lord, I vow to give you all the glory and all the honor in the precious and the mighty name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight from His Word. Amen. It's a blessing to be here with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God. God is good and His mercy endureth forever. Saints, I'm grateful and thankful just for the opportunity to be here on the airwaves. I thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to be here. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight from His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. Glory to God. If you struggle with something I say, pray, get on your knees, seek the face of God, and allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Saints, we are in the last days. Perilous times are here. The return of Yeshua is imminent. And and it's time that we press our way into the kingdom of God, that we are make sure that we are about our Father's business, that we are doing what He has called us to do as His covenant people. I'm grateful that God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us on Calvary. As this is Resurrection Sunday weekend, this is where you hear the message preached about the cross and about the resurrection and about Jesus and how He rose from the grave on the third day. Realizing the very fact that when the scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," we sometimes have a tendency to forget about what Yeshua, Jesus, had to endure and how He had to suffer for us, and how when it says that God made a way, that we realize that, He went through something. Go with me to Isaiah 53, because, you know, I normally come from the angle of recognizing the fact that when he died a horrible death. Crucifixion was the most painful and horrible death that anyone could die from. And in Isaiah 53, it's amazing that in the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied of what kind of death he would endure. And when you look at it, saints, it comes down to the very essence and the very fact that, man, I don't know any other human being that could have endured and went through what Jesus went through on the cross at Calvary. In Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no countenance, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's that he is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, that he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned away into his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him with a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions." Now we see, as Isaiah prophesied and foretold of the death of Yeshua the Messiah, when he came and he showed up, the people did not even recognize him. The religious leaders, the religious system that was in place, did not recognize that he was the Messiah. They did not understand that the Messiah was going to be a suffering Messiah. They were always talking about, when are we going to rule and reign? And they were more concerned about that instead of being recognizing the fact that he was coming to die for their sins. And so when you look at this whole account of what Jesus endured on the cross at Calvary and why he had to suffer, he had to die and suffer because of the sin, the rebellion and disobedience by Adam and Eve. And what the purpose of his death and his resurrection was, to reconcile man back to God so that man could have access to God. And that's what it was about. And what Jesus endured and what he went through a lot of suffering, a lot of suffering. So recognizing the very fact that as he endured and went through such affliction, and we're going to read in the account of the trial and what he had to endure, you will begin to see and recognize the very fact that Jesus, he loved us. He loved us, and his suffering, and his death, and his resurrection, the power of sin was broken over your life. And as a believer, you should be walking in liberty and freedom in Christ Jesus. Nothing should be holding you back from walking in a covenant relationship with the Lord, because the scripture declares he broke the power of sin. And we look at it, and we're going to go through and read the man. You know, saints, I don't know if people really, really got and dug into this, the what he had to endure, what he had to go through. And go with me to John
chapter 18.
And know something about this whole thing that we need to understand: when God has decreed something, nothing can stop it. And God had foreordained that Jesus would be the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And the purpose of him dying was first to restore fellowship with man, to pay the penalty. The ransom was paid. That's why we can walk in liberty and freedom in Christ Jesus, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we recognize this here in John chapter 18. Let's go there, saints. Amen. You listen to straight from his word. I pray that you're getting something out of this. It says, and when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples to the brook of Cedron, where was a garden which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto him, whom are you looking for? Whom seek ye? And they answered and said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked they again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If you therefore seek me, let these go their way, that by the saying may be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gave me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote, or cut off the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Their servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up your sword unto the sheath. The cup which my father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? Then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. He was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto them that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He said, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always resort. In the secret I have said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. You know, Jesus was something else. He talked straight. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus said, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why are you hitting me? Now Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Simon Peter stood with and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, are you not also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again and said immediately, the cock crew. You know, Jesus had prophesied and told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Because, and sometimes us as believers, when the pressure gets hot, and we need to make a stand, we can't be faithful. But understanding the very fact that what happened with Peter, there was a spiritual warfare that was going on with Peter also. And recognizing the fact that, you know, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, had told him, Peter, Satan hath asked permission to sift you. Matter of fact, he want all of you. But he knew that Satan was going to focus on Peter because Peter was the most zealous of the disciples. And he says, when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. But the very essence and the fact that there was a lot of things happening in the spiritual and this dynamic that was driving this to the conclusion that God the Father had wanted, because he says, I am going to provide a perfect sacrificial lamb. It is going to be my son. He is going to suffer. He's going to die. And he's going to be raised from the dead on the third day. Glory to God. And Peter denied him three times. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusations bring you against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would have not delivered him up to you. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You see, this was an illegal trial that Jesus endured and went through. But he went through it because it was decreed by Father God. It had to happen. It had to go down this way. God, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. They called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing for thyself, or did others tell it of thee? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Your own people. And Jesus said he came unto his own, and his own recognized him not in John chapter 1, but recognizing the fact that the religious system that was in place caused them to renounce and not to recognize the Messiah when he showed up. And Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. And if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to him, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one of the Passover. Will you therefore I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now recognizing the fact that the people were worked up in a frenzy, the enemy had worked them up, stirred them up. And here they had renounced Jesus. They had rejected him. But Jesus was set to fulfill the Father's will to go on the cross and die at Calvary so that they would be redeemed, that the power of sin would be broken over them. And when you think about this, excuse me, say, when you think about this, God was in control. Satan thought he had it. Satan thought, I got him now. I got him where I want him. Excuse me, say. Not realizing that God was getting ready to seal Satan's destiny, his judgment, his final judgment that was going to be placed upon him by Jesus going to the cross and dying on the cross at Calvary, we can see and understand and recognize that during this time, he was being the sacrificial lamb. His blood was going to be shed for the penalty of sins. And you know, God is good because you know what? The plan that God had since the beginning of time was being implemented exactly the way that he wanted it. And then in chapter 19, verse number 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, beat him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. You see, Pilate, the natural system, had found him not guilty. And he was. Jesus had did nobody wrong. He was a perfect, blameless, sacrificial lamb. He had done nothing. Pilate said, I found no fault in him. But once Father God has decreed something, it's going to come to pass. And recognize this very fact, that if you have received a word from the Lord, or you find the scripture and you see, but God said, when God said, it will be, it will be. Whatever God has decreed over your life, it will be. So when the scripture says, by his stripes we are healed, we can begin to decree and proclaim and profess God's healing.
and believe that God will bring the healing to pass, or the deliverance, or whatever you are struggling with. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And recognizing the fact that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. The God that we serve is a deliverer. The God that we serve is a healer. The God that we serve is a restorer. And on Resurrection Day, as we continue to read into this, we will be able to recognize and see that God performed the very thing that he has spoken. You see, Satan always tries to deceive us. He tries to deceive us and get us to doubt God and doubt God's ability to perform his word. But God is faithful for his word because God loved us enough to send his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. And just like he died and rose again on the third day, he's coming again because his return is imminent. And that's why it is so important that as believers, we get into a covenant relationship with him and we begin to pursue him. We begin to seek after him because we love him. And we want to be found in a relationship with him. We want to make sure that we're in a place that God has called us to be as his sons, as his daughters, because he loves us. And God wants us to be free. God does not want us to be in bondage to any type of sin, any type of sickness, any type of disease. Yes, God has blessed us with doctors, but there's a place where even where we have the gifts of healing in the church, in the body of Christ, and they're not manifesting because the people in the body of Christ have been bound up because we have certain denominations that don't believe in the fruit of the Spirit, in the power, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and therefore the people have been robbed of the opportunity to experience God's fulfillment and God's deliverance and God's grace, because that's why he equipped the church with power. And recognizing the fact that we as believers, when we start walking in that power, we start walking in that authority, then we will see and know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think. Because the God that we serve, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. That's why I say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for your grace. Lord, I thank you that you loved us enough to send your son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I'm healed. Lord, I thank you that I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy and that the power of sin has been broken over my life. Well, I'm able to say, Lord, I thank you because, God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Saints, that's why we got to pray. That's why we got to pray for our loved ones, our family members, and our coworkers, our colleagues, and be praying that people's hearts and minds will be open to hear and to receive the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah, because his return is imminent and he's coming. He's coming back. That's why times that we're seeing taking place is so wicked. As we see all of this stuff happening, we can see and understand and say, oh my God, the end times are here and it's going to get worse. And I'm praying that God will send revival to grant healing, to grant deliverance, because with the God that we serve, he is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask and we think, because God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his promises. And he sent his son to die for us on the cross at Calvary. That's why we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers. If the Holy Spirit moves on you to bless us financially, please be obedient to the Holy Ghost and pray for your family members and loved ones that their hearts will be open to hear and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love you. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because for the Lord our God Almighty is awesome and he has risen.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Timothy Lavelle.